paper available in print, digital, and mobile formats. That provides coverage of the people, places, and events in the 18 North Side neighborhoods of Pittsburgh. Details on the North Side Chronicle, including its free weekly newsletter, are available at thenorthsidechronicle.com.
Thanks. We had a request for Tom Lehrer. We might not have time to fit him in today, but we will. If we can, Gail looks like she was taking a guess at the Beatles song. There's Get Back. Oh gosh, I think you you must have spoken your answer or had autocorrect. She's got the right answer. USSR. Oh, it's My Eyes, actually. It's typed correctly. Back in the USSR is the song. Jim, that was a great puzzle. You knew that, Ricky? Back in the USSR. The song. Broadcasting live. Thanks for playing along from historic Allegheny Square. Along with Ricky Berger, this is Larry Berger, and this is the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade. Saturday mornings at WRCT Pittsburgh, WIUP-FM Indiana, WMCO New Concord, KRDP Apache Junction, Goldfield, Ghost Town, Phoenix, WSAJ-FM Grove City, WCUC-FM Clarion, WNJR Washington, WKYW LP Kaiser, West Virginia, Mountain Streams Radio.org, Tube City Online at WMCK.FM McKeesport, and SLBRadio.org/radio. Getting back to the drawing board, another good idiomatic expression.
Saturday summers, when I was a kid, we'd run to the schoolyard, and here's what we did. We'd pick out the captains, and we'd choose up the teams. It was always a measure of my self-esteem, 'cause the fastest, the strongest played shortstop, and first, the last ones they picked were the worst. Well, I never needed to ask, it was sealed. I just took up my place in right field, playing right field. It's easy, you know. You can be awkward, you can be slow. That's why I'm here in right field, just watching the dandelions grow. Playing right field can be lonely and dull. Little leagues never have lefties that pull. I dream of the day they hit one my way. They never did, but still I would pray that I'd make a fantastic catch on the run and not lose the ball in the sun. And then I'd awake from this long reverie and pray that the ball never came out to me. Here in right field, it's easy, you know. You can be awkward, you can be slow. That's why I'm here in right field, just watching the dandelions grow. Dragging on, there's strikes on the batter, some runners are on. I don't know the inning, I've forgotten the score. The whole team is yelling and I don't know what for. And then suddenly everyone's looking at me. My mind has been wandering. What could it be? They point to the sky and I look up above. And a baseball falls into my glove. Here in right field. It's important, you know. You gotta know how to catch. You gotta know.
Peter, Paul, and Mary with Right Field by multiple requests this morning. Thank you. Were you here during our last hour? We played Guess Who, which was a lot of fun. Judy Garland was who we were looking for. And we also had fun with some idioms containing the word back. And we're glad you're along. Coming up in just a moment, you're going to get to hear a remarkable cellist who's joining us today by way of the Pittsburgh Concert Society. Also this hour, we have a writer who has just published a collection of poetry. Both are teens, and they'll be here with us between now and 11 o'clock Eastern, and then just after 11. The great Tom Roberts, musicologist, stride pianist, raconteur, radio host, knower of just about all Leon Redbone facts, given a the 10 years or so he spent touring with him. Tom will be here to share music and simply chat. That's all coming up on today's Saturday Light Brigade.
The Saturday Light Brigade is made possible in part with support from the Allegheny Regional Asset District, putting Allegheny County sales tax dollars to work in regional libraries, parks, sports facilities, and arts and culture programs. Learn more at radworkshere.org.
Fast-moving morning this has been. We have Heidi Russman, is that you? Heidi, I think, who is here from the Pittsburgh Concert Society, and Richard also here. Nice to have both of you here today in the audience. Is Ray here somewhere out there? I can't see you, Ray, but I'm glad you're here. Ray Tang is Ellie's mom. And Ellie Tang is 16 and is about to begin her junior year at North Allegheny. And she was honored through the Pittsburgh Concert Society for cello. She is going to play two selections for us. We'll hear your first, and then we'll talk a little bit in between. Join me now as we welcome live music from Ellie Tank.
Thank you.
That is Ellie Tang, Variations on a Theme from Moses in Egypt by Paganini. That was absolutely incredible. What are you thinking about as you play that, or what do you feel as you play that?
It's actually a piece of Italian opera, so it's very dramatic, and as I'm thinking, I'm trying to embody many different characters, or have these like really big mood swings, from, you know, very loud and boisterous to really soft and, you know, kind of reserved. That's what Italian opera is all about. Yeah.
There are so many moods to that piece as you listen. And I was curious, because not only did they seem to be technically different in terms of how they require you to play and really meet the composer's intent, but also just require you to switch back and forth quite a bit. Is this a piece that is common for cellists to tackle? How did you come by choosing this piece to play?
Well, honestly, this piece was originally written for violin, but more cellists come to play it. And if I'm honest, my teacher gave me a choice between this piece and many other technical pieces, but I thought this piece had such a nice melody and intro and such great just emotion to it that I really wanted to choose this piece over all the other ones.
And who is your main instructor right now?
My instructor is Adam Lil. He plays in the Pittsburgh Symphony Orchestra. Yeah, he's great.
That's wonderful. And you're a rising junior at North Allegheny High
That's
School.
That's right, yes.
So you'll be starting there this coming fall. And are there others? Well, I know musically you're going to be part of the PMEA. Orchestra, is that correct?
Yes, I was in PMA Allstate last year, and this coming year I'm going to be in the Pittsburgh Youth Symphony Orchestra for maybe my fifth year now. I've been in there for quite a while, and I absolutely love playing symphony orchestra, so It's great, yeah.
And are you involved in North Allegheny's Orchestra as
Yes,
well?
I am as well.
So you've got a lot to do. What else do you like to do in addition to music?
Well, if I'm honest, music is like my whole life right now. But I also like to read, and sometimes I compose music, and other times I also do singing as a hobby. But mainly I just practice and listen to various works of composers.
And it sounds like you find it joyful to practice. A lot of musicians do, or is it sometimes not so joyful?
I mean, it's obviously a mix of both. The pieces get technically difficult, and a lot of challenges that many don't think of arise when you do practice. There's things like you need to consider, like tone quality beyond just technique, or the musicality and the thought behind the piece, and it can become very challenging. Although when you do master the piece, it becomes incredibly like joyful and just such very pleasant to play. So I definitely do enjoy doing it. Yeah.
Is there anybody else you would like to thank? We mentioned your instructor from the Pittsburgh Symphony.
Yes. I'd like to thank my parents. Well, my mom's listening right now. And it definitely, I think something that people don't mention a lot is that music takes a lot of support. It's one of the things where you need a good background in order to pursue much further into life. And I'm very grateful that I have that.
Yeah, you need a support system, even if it's for helping you get to where you need to be and helping you schedule.
I'm very lucky to be at least in the Pittsburgh area, because we have a lovely symphony here and great teachers.
Have you thought about what you would like to do after high school?
I have thought about it. I'm actually also into a lot of life science, so I'm either thinking a major in, you know, performance or producing or biology, which is very different, but I love nature and I love learning about those things. So I have thought about that too.
Well, and there's still lots of time, including time, you know, a decade from, I mean, there's always twists and turns a career ends up taking. Did you know you wanted to play the cello from a very young age?
Actually, I was first introduced to piano, and whenever my sister started picking up violin, her husband was a cello player, and I fell in love with like the sound of the cello. I thought I liked it way more than the violin, and you know, like, why should I pursue the same interests as my sister? So I picked it up, and ever since I've been going with it. And
so your older sister played, and you decided to. She was the reason you learned more about the instrument.
Definitely. It was also my parents introducing it to me, and ever since I've just been pursuing it, yeah.
I'm curious, too. The Pittsburgh Concert Society, you can learn more about them at pittsburghconcertsociety.org. After auditioning, it had to be amazing to learn that you were selected as a young artist. How has that helped, that support?
Do you mean like how has the Pittsburgh Concert Society benefited me?
Yeah.
Or how's it? Yeah. It helped like my confidence a lot. I think music requires so much confidence in order to perform in front of others, and of course to be here today. And I think around that time I was still building my confidence to perform in front of people, and so winning this competition, it like gave me so many opportunities, of course, to be here and to perform on stage. And also I got to play at the time the Grand Tango, which is one of my favorite pieces by Piazzolla, and and I don't know, it just made me really happy and realize how much I enjoy performing for people, especially, you know, when, you know, they're engaged and they can hopefully remember my performance afterwards.
Yeah, performing as a soloist by way of Pittsburgh Concert Society, talk about developing confidence to be completely alone. You're it. You know, so that, that's got to be an incredible opportunity and experience to do that. PittsburghConcertSociety.org is how you can learn more about the work that they do. Before playing your next piece, I want to be sure if we won't be able to talk afterwards because it's going to take us up to the end of our segment. Is there anything else you'd like to mention before you play the second piece you brought?
No, but I'd like to thank everyone in this process to allow me to play today for SLB, and I really appreciate what you guys do here for young artists. That's great. Yeah.
Thank you. I do have one other question for you. If you were face-to-face right now with somebody who maybe doesn't understand why having music in schools is important, not just for people as talented as you are, but availability for all students. Do you have a sense of what you might say to convince that person that they might want to reconsider how they feel about that?
Well, I think that music has so many benefits for the long term, whether it means enrichment in the brain and the way you process and attack problem solving and critical thinking, but it also can help kids loosen up and, you know, really maybe dive into their inner selves, because I think that's a sector that many schools lack nowadays. And I think creative processing is something that you need in the future and in every job you tackle. So it's incredibly important that kids at least have some sort of exposure to music. Yeah.
Thank you. That's Ellie Tang. And what piece are you going to play next?
I'm going to play part of Rococo Variations, just the first, second, and third variation by Tchaikovsky.
Here again is Ellie Tang.
Thank you.
That is Ellie Tagg. Thank you for being with us today, and thank you to the Pittsburgh Concert Society, Antoinette Tuma, and also with us today, Heidi Russman of its board, along with Richard. And you're listening to the show that gets your weekend off to a good start, the Saturday Light Brigade, Saturday mornings from SLB Radio Productions. We have poetry coming up, but we had a request for a bit of math from Tom Lehrer.
Some of you who have small children may have perhaps been put in the embarrassing position of being unable to do your child's arithmetic homework because of the current revolution in mathematics teaching known as the new math. So as a public service here tonight, I thought I would offer a brief lesson in the new math. Tonight, we're going to cover subtraction. This is the first room I've worked for a while. It didn't have a blackboard, so we will have to make do with more primitive visual aids, as they say in the ad biz. Consider the following subtraction problem, which I will put up here. 342 minus 173. Now, remember how we used to do that. 3 from 2 is 9, carry the 1, and if you're under 35 or went to a private school, you say 7 from 3 is 6, but if you're over 35 and went to a public school, you say 8 from 4 is 6. And carry the 1, so we have 169. But in the new approach, as you know, the important thing is to understand what you're doing rather than to get the right answer. Here's how they do it now. You can't take 3 from 2. 2 is less than 3, so you look at the 4 in the tens place. Now that's really 4 tens, so you make it 3 tens, regroup, and you change a 10 to 10 ones, and you add them to the 2 and get 12, and you take away 3, that's 9. Is that clear? Now instead of 4 in the tens place, you've got 3 because you added 1, that is to say 10 to the 2, but you can't take 7 from 3, so you look in the hundreds place. From the 3, you then use 1 to make 10 ones, and you know why 4 plus minus 1 plus 10 is 14 minus 1, because addition is commutative, right? And so you got 13 tens, and you take away 7, and that leaves 5. Well, 6, actually, but the idea is the important thing. Now go back to the hundreds place. You're left with 2, and you take away 1 from 2, and that leaves... Everybody get 1? Not bad for the first day. Hooray for new math, new math. It won't do you a bit of good to review math. It's so simple, so very simple, that only a child can do it. Now that actually is not the answer that I had in mind, because the book that I got this problem out of wants you to do it in base 8. But don't panic. Base 8 is just like base 10, really, if you're missing 2 fingers. Shall we have a go at it? Hang on. You can't take three from two. Two is less than three, so you look at the four in the eights place. Now that's really 4/8, so you make a 3/8. Regroup, and you change an 8 to 8 ones, and you add to the two, and you get 1 2 base 8, which is 10 base 10, and you take away three. That's 7. Okay? Instead of 4 in the 8th place, you've got 3 because you added 1, that is to say 8, to the 2. But you can't take 7 from 3, so you look at the 64s. 64. How did 64 get into it? I hear you cry. Well, 64 is 8 squared, don't you see? Well, you ask a silly question, you get a silly answer. From the 3, you then use 1 to make 8 ones. You add those 1s to the 3, and you get 1 3 base 8, or in other words, in base 10, you have 11, and you take away 7, and 7 from 11 is 4. Now go back to the 64s. You're left with 2, and you take away 1 from 2, and that leaves... Now, let's not always see the same hands. That's right. Whoever got 1 can stay after the show and clean the erasers. Hooray for new math, new math. It won't do you a bit of good to review math. It's so simple, so very simple, that only a child can do it. Come back tomorrow night. We're gonna do fractions.
There you've got Tom Lehrer.
Here. Now, I've often thought I'd like to write a mathematics textbook someday.
At the Saturday Light Brigade. From 1965, and his album, That Was the Year That Was. And that was requested by Steve and Sharon. Thanks for doing that, Steve. You'll be glad to know how much Angelina enjoyed hearing that song. She's 17, so it's good to know that Tom Lehrer's music and lyrics endure over the years. Angelina is going to share her words in just a moment, some poetry, and we'll also talk a little bit about what she's been up to. She has been a superstar at our Youth Media Center. She worked as an intern during our camps this past summer. School starts on Monday. It's hard to believe. We'll catch up with her in a moment.
Assemble joins you in supporting the Saturday Light Brigade. Assemble invites the community to Maker Date on Saturday, September 27th, from 6 to 9 p.m. at the Maverick Hotel. Maker Date features opportunities to bid on creative learning experiences with talented makers, as well as raffle baskets, games, food, drinks, and live music. Attendees are encouraged to wear costumes for the event. All proceeds benefit Assemble's STEAM education programs for youth in Pittsburgh. More information about Maker Date is available at assemblepgh.org/makerdate.
Tom Roberts is going to join us in our 11 o'clock hour. He also is not only closing out today's Saturday Light Brigade, but he is closing out our solar concert series, which is this coming Thursday, August 28th at Nova Place, right outside of Federal Galley in the Nova Place Plaza. Tom will be there to perform for you. I've already had a lot of questions about Tom. When is he going to be playing? When is he going to be on the radio? Well, he'll be on the radio in just about half an hour, and I don't know who's more excited about it, him or you or me, but it'll be fun to have him here as always. Right now, Angelina Jones is here with us. Hey, Angelina.
Hi, Larry.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you?
I'm good. What's it like now with summer? I can't believe that school is starting as soon as it's starting. I mean, August 25th is just seems so early to me.
It's a little bit later than a lot of the schools that my friends go to, so I'm grateful for that. Only one friend is starting another week after me on like September 3rd, and so I think I've got one of the later dates, but I'm definitely ready to go back to school. My summer has been so busy. I know you guys saw me for a stint for those 2 weeks that I was working here, and that was probably like the most relaxing time of my summer.
I was going to ask, what else were you up to?
Yeah, you know, I went on vacation with my cousin, which was nice because I haven't been on vacation in a while, but I haven't ever been on vacation like without my mom. And so that was like an interesting experience. So I thought it was cool. It was nice. I'm taking it as preparation for college because I'm not taking her with me, unfortunately. So I was like, let's get some practice in now. So she did let me go get my practice. It was nice. And then other than that, I've just been busy with, you know, balloon bookings. I'm a party decorator and event coordinator, so.
I did not know that. So you'll make balloon animals and things?
Or? Oh, goodness, no. I tried the animals for a while. Not my thing. Too much twisting. But I do like the fancy arches and things of that nature. So a lot of back-to-school ones. I recently just did some for Bishop Canavan, like 2 days ago, for their first day of school back. So different birthday parties and things over the past couple weeks have been occupying a lot of my time.
I had no idea you did that. And it's primarily the balloon-based for people that... You must have done some of the balloons around here.
No, I actually didn't do any here yet. But I was talking about that with some of our staff educators because I didn't know that a lot more people didn't know about that.
I had no idea.
Yes, I'm just the jack of all trades. Whatever we need, I probably could do it. And if I don't know how, I'll figure it out in time for us to throw it together.
Where did you go on vacation?
I went on a cruise to the Bahamas, and so that was very nice. We went to Turks and Caicos, and then the Bahamas, and then we went to Half Moon Cay. It was very nice.
I bet. I've never been on a cruise ship for that kind of vacation before. Did anything surprise you?
I hadn't been on a cruise since I was really little, so I think I was surprised by the amount of people, because I think that when you're small, you're not necessarily conscious to so many things. And so I think it was very interesting, especially being older. Just getting to do more was nice. But I liked it. I liked the cruise because there's not too many places you can go. You know, there's only so much on the boat that you can do. And so I didn't feel like I was going to get lost anywhere.
Yeah, it probably makes things a little orderly and allows you to just be in the moment with
yes.
your family. What a busy time. It sounds like once school starts, you'll be able to slow down.
Yeah, I'm so excited to go back to school just so I don't have anything else to do during the day. That's going to be my favorite part, is having like my schedule and my regiment and knowing that from like 8 to 3, this is all I have to do.
Well, the other thing that's happened, I think, pretty recently is the book that you've published, and it's called What I Meant to Say, and it's a collection of poetry. Tell me a bit about what led to this, why you decided to create a book. It's available in limited quantities. We'll let you know the best way to get a hold of a copy if you'd like, but I'm just curious about why it is that you decided you wanted to make sure your poems were published and available in this form.
Yes, so I have been writing poetry for forever. As many know, I'm going to journalism and broadcasting, so writing has always been a very big part of my life, both like academically and then extracurricularly, I suppose. But poetry has been like my way of processing things, and so I really like the way that it's very like customizable. I like the different styles of poetry. I like free verse mostly is what I primarily write in because I like to make my own rhyming patterns and break my stanzas in a way that makes sense to me for the particular piece that I'm working on. And so I like the ability to take a singular moment or feeling and then zoom out a lot and provide a lot of detail. And so anyway, I write poetry all the time. And so I was in a couple publications. I apply to local things all the time. I do Write Pittsburgh. I've applied to different writing contests. I applied to our poetry contest here at the studio. It was wonderful. And one of the publications that I was accepted in sent me a physical copy. And I was very, very excited because I had not seen like my work in like a physical print outside of my school's literary arts magazine that I'm published in. And so it was just like the coolest thing ever to me. And then I started like meddling with this idea of maybe putting a book together, putting together a physical publication of my own. And my uncle James had been kind of on me about getting something out because he had read snippets of this murder mystery that I've been working on over the years. That's just kind of one of those back burner things that you go back to and add a chapter here and there when you don't really have anything else to work on. And I was, initially that's what he wanted me to publish. And I was like, well, why don't we do like a poetry collection? And at my church, there's an author's weekend annually every year where our pastor will read a bunch of books and then talk about them after service. And then the church will sell them for a period of time. And so he was like, well, why don't we get it together and do it for author's weekend? And so that was kind of like the jump start to it. So I pulled together some old pieces that I had written and then started to come up with what I wanted the book to be about. And so one of the major themes that I had been looking at kind of across my junior year was Black girlhood and then Black girlhood in Pittsburgh. Writing for my English class, I did like a deep dive for my research paper of Black girlhood like across literature, specifically looking at Jacqueline Woodson. And then for my history research paper, I looked at redlining in Pittsburgh and what that looked like during that time period, and then how that may have affected Black girlhood kind of in tandem with other societal norms of the time. And I decided that I wanted to kind of put my story of Black girlhood kind of together in a way from my perspective of different things and like emotions and experiences, and then turn it into a cohesive story. And then I picked a title and got to do all the fun things like designing the cover and picking the fonts.
Yeah, can I see it?
Yes, of course.
I'm looking, oh wow. It's thicker than I thought it was. What I meant to say, Poems for the In-Between is the subtitle. This is beautiful.
Oh, thank you.
Wow. I sort of looked at it. I looked at the cover online, and this is gorgeous. I'm looking how many. It looks like you've got maybe 20. I'm not going to 20 poems, maybe a few more than that. I'm glad you have the date in it. Not that, of course, you have the date. It's a book.
Yes,
but
you're right.
Sometimes people forget to date their work. Believe it or not. And I think that's really important. So, you know, when was this published?
Yeah,
because it's part of your history.
Doing some more. So I wanted to know that I marked my starting point so that I could go back to this one and know that, like, this was the first one. Hopefully there will be many more to come.
I know you're going to share some poems in a minute, but I'm curious about the production process. You were mentioning how much joy it brought you to see the work that was published, the other work that was honored, and you received the copy of it. In this case, you had to figure out the layout, the, you know, what the binding was going to look like, what the end pages were going to be. Was that difficult to make those decisions and then let go of them?
Well, luckily for me, my uncle owns a printing company, and so he does printing on like many forms of media and all different textiles and things. And so he was a huge help with that. I didn't really have to worry so much about like the finished product not coming out the way that I wanted it to, because I had someone that I trusted working on it. And so I really got to focus a lot on making sure that all the pieces were like perfect and polished the way that I wanted them to be, and then figuring out like the order of the poems and so that the story would unfold correctly. And really all I did was title it, and I sent all the poems over. I think that the biggest thing that I had to worry about was because I write in my notes app a lot, because I take the bus, and any public transportation rider knows that it takes up a good chunk of your time, and it's very easy to zone out on some of those longer bus rides across town. And so I write a lot on my phone. And so I think the most tedious thing was for me getting all of the poems that I wanted to be in the book off of my notes app and into Google Docs. But as far as production of the book goes, he was really great about just sending me different ideas and like formattings and designs, and just having me kind of pick between, you know, saying what I like, what I don't like, and then he'd go in and fix it and send me a new one. And we went back and forth like that for about a month, and then we landed on this one, and I love it. I didn't know it was going to be a hardback, though. And so when I got the box and I like pulled one out, I was like, this is like cooler. I thought they were going to be paperback.
Yeah, it's very, that's what I was saying, thick. What I really meant is substantial.
Yeah, she's a sturdy book.
Yes. And that's what makes it so nice. Well, let's, you've got two that you're going to share with us. And I'll let you set them up as you would like to. I don't know if you need to give any introduction beforehand.
Well, as against prefacing as I am going to preface just a little bit. I'm going to start with the last poem in the book. This is the poem that I used to close out the book. It is called Where My Name First Meant Something. And like I said, the kind of like the purpose of the book is to take like a singular moment and zoom out. Just across like my life thus far, because I am, you know, too young to tell my whole life story. But in my 17 years of living, this is a moment, or I feel as though it's a collection of moments that is very important to me. But this is my ending poem, and it is called Where My Name First Meant Something. Before I ever knew what power felt like, I felt it in the way that he said my name. Not loudly, not with a roar, but with a quiet pride that made it echo in my chest long after the sound was gone. My father was the first mirror that didn't distort me. He saw my fire and didn't flinch, didn't tell me to be smaller, quieter, or easier to raise. He let me rage, let me cry, let me question the world, and never once said because I said so. He always had answers, or better yet, questions of his own, to hand back to me like puzzle pieces. I didn't understand it then, how rare that was, and how sacred. A girl's relationship with her father isn't just about protection. It's about being believed in before the world tries to convince you that you're lying. It's about being held without being fixed. It's about learning how a man should treat you and not be told, but by being shown day after day with gentleness and intention, with love that doesn't ask for you to earn it. When I spoke, he listened like the world stopped, and when I failed, he told me that bravery was in the trying. When I succeeded, he didn't clap for the world to hear. He just looked at me like he already knew I made it just by showing up as myself. He taught me how to use my voice, but never to drown it out. How to stand out and walk tall, and he walked tall beside me until my legs could carry my own weight alone. And yes, sometimes we disagree, and sometimes I looked at him like he couldn't possibly understand what it was like to grow up in a girl's body and a girl's world. But then he'd do something, like a small favor, folding my favorite hoodie, or saving me the last bite of dessert, and I'd remember that he was learning too, and that it mattered more than always getting it right. A father doesn't have to be perfect, and a father doesn't have to be perfect in every way. But he just has to show up, again and again. Soft when the world is harsh, but still when the world is spinning. Present when presence is all that is needed.
Wow. That's Angelina Jones, if you're just joining us. She's going into her senior year at the Ellis School. She's from Elliott. And that's the last poem in what I meant to say. Her just published book. That poem took a lot of courage, I think.
Yeah, I really like that one. And it was important for me that was like my ending sentiment, because I think that one of like the biggest things in my life is my relationship with my dad. My dad and I are really close. And I think that it's very important to have a support system. But also, I think that it's very important for girls to have like a strong father figure, because, you know, I think that we're so hardwired to like look for affection in places that it doesn't, like, that you shouldn't be looking for affection early if you're not getting it where it's supposed to come from. And so I'm very grateful that I have a very loving support system, and that I have a really great dad who's very involved in my life and in my writing and my processing of just like everyday things. And my dad has taught me so much about like emotional maturity and just like having a solid control over yourself before you can go out into the world. And I think that that's a lot of what he has tried to instill in me over the years. And so I love my relationship with my dad. And that's actually the second poem in the book about him. There's another one about him that's a little like way softer and lighthearted. But I think that a lot of my confidence, because I struggled with that a lot in middle school, I say, not super outright confidence struggles, but just insecurities and not fully being my authentic self for a while, until like my sophomore year of high school. And I think that my dad really helped a lot with that, of just letting me know all the time that like I could be myself at home, even if I wasn't comfortable being myself everywhere else, even though that's what he was kind of pushing me to do. And so just having an environment where it's like, yeah, sometimes I don't always need like the iron fist, but maybe like we'll just share some cake and not talk, but just be here and it's okay.
There are a lot of fathers and children that don't share that kind of communication bond, the older kids, I should say.
Yeah.
So I can't imagine writing a poem for my dad when I was in high school. Not that we didn't love one another. I think at least for whatever reason, you just weren't necessarily as demonstrative as that. Was it, what was it like for you to share that with him? Was it a challenge? I'm curious because you already appear to have such a great relationship. Part of me says it must have been easy, but I still have to believe it was probably a challenge too.
Well, it's interesting because I write my dad poems. For a couple of his birthdays or Father's Days, I've written him poems and such. And so for me to take all these emotions and things around my relationship with him and put it into writing and then share it with him is not a foreign thing in our house, but I don't know if he's read that one yet, honestly. Like I said, there's another one that comes up earlier in the book about him. And I know that when the books came and I got them and I was giving them out to my mom and my grandma, and we were doing this whole unboxing, because it was actually a secret. Nobody knew that I was working on a book. So it just kind of showed up at the house the one day. And I was like, all right, guys, I have a book. And so we were unpacking that, and my dad was at work. And so when he got home, we were all sleeping. And so he just kind of saw it and started reading. So he went to the table of contents and then read the one on page 16, I believe, and it's called Daddy's Little Girl. And so he read that. And then the next day when I saw him, I was like, oh my God, did you read the one about you? And in my mind, I'm thinking the last one. And he was like, yeah, I read the one about me. We're talking about it. And then I was like, oh, that's not the one I meant for you to read. and so I know that he started reading the book in order. And I think he's almost to the end, but not there quite yet. So I'm not sure if he's read that one before, but I know that he knows that that's nothing in there will be a shock. He knows how I feel. He's read a lot of my work before, and even with art and things, he looks at my drawings and my paintings, and he listens to my podcast. So pretty much all of my creative outlets, my dad's very in tune with and has seen a lot of my work. So I'm sure that when he reads it, he will appreciate it, but not be surprised.
How can people best find your podcast and the book? And one answer is if they want to write to SLB, we can connect them to you if that's the easiest way.
Yes, and I do appreciate you guys so much for that. For anyone who wants to go about it that way. My podcast is available on Spotify and YouTube under Excellence in Motion, and it's by Angelina Jones. When you look it up, a couple other ones do pop up, but it is purple. A lot of things with me are purple. I'm a purple girl. But that is Excellence in Motion on Spotify and YouTube by Angelina Jones. And then this book right now, I'm currently selling independently, so it is available through my personal Instagram right now. I have a link that you can fill out to do an order while I'm waiting for my copyright paperwork to just be in my possession. It is fully copyrighted. Don't steal it. I'm waiting for the papers to be physically in my possession so that I can put it on Amazon, but it will be available on Amazon at a later date soon. But my personal Instagram is ANG3L_RENEE, and the link to buy the book and fill out the order form is linked in my bio. So if you go to the links on my Instagram, it is on there under book orders, and shipping is free. So I do suggest that everyone order one.
So feel free to, if you email us at slb@slbradio.org or contact us at any of the usual ways, we'll make sure that Angelina gets your information too. And if you're driving and can't make a note of some of the other information. Plus, when this is in our catalog at our slbradio.org/catalog, we'll make sure those links are there as well. You have one more poem to share. I want to thank you for being here. Is there anything else you wanted to add before sharing this poem?
I just appreciate being here. I love it here. You guys know I'm here all the time. And for just the wonderful support system that I do have here with our across our staff educators and then other people who partake in our programming with me. I've met some of my best friends here. And so I'm so happy that on one Saturday, you know, I stumbled in here to share some writing, poetry, of course.
Yeah, that's a long time ago.
Many moons ago. And you guys have been seeing me ever since. And so I just really appreciate it. And I think that you guys also deserve your flowers for just having such a wonderful platform that I've been able to grow off of and will always remember that I did start here.
Thank you. I hope we haven't seen the last of you. I know we haven't.
Of course not.
So here's Angelina Jones' next poem.
Yes, this one is titled, I Am From. I am from loud thunder